Burn that rubber like I'm Michelin. Five star food that I dish to them. Chef sat on when I whip in the kitchen, and I switch suits like I'm Mr. Ben.
10-10 gear, I shift up to fifth. Blues in the rear and I'm swerving the mains like Tokyo Drift. Took a shot, but he missed. Then made love to the grin and kissed
the curb. What's the word? I dodge your case, so I flip the bird. Grab the bin, get back to work. Then I'm switching lanes and I flex out
hurt. I'll hurt him. One thing's for sure and two things for certain. When he gets made and the pecs, I'm serving him. Mess with a cake and I bet him a burger.
Welcome back to the World with Fergie Duel podcast. I am Olu Jimmy. Joined today by Mr. Francis.
Yo, yo.
And the man who loves to introduce himself.
El Maestro. I'll give you guys an update on the music. I actually found another producer 2 weeks ago, but I'll save that for
another one time.
The music is coming out amazing, even beyond my wildest dreams, to be honest. It's such a good time, you know, to record. Like I told you in the previous pod, creatives. But I've also been working on a book. I think I mentioned this to you guys. Well, two books. One is an erotica. I've kind of put that one on the back burner for now.
Is this erotica going to include pictures? Is this like a visual medium?
For the senses. This is a felt experience.
So you know, you're just going to be manipulating words, is what you're saying?
Of course. I mean, so in this phase, I'm doing research on some of the authors that exist and like what makes them stand out. So just doing a lot of research, reading, living, you know, stuff like that. But then secondary to that, I've started another book, which is going to be a sci-fi novel. And, you know, I just started getting, you know how sometimes you just get like a bunch of different ideas and the ideas are just flowing. And so from there, I focused a little more on that because I feel like I'll be able to make some hay on that. So we'll see how far I get. So there's a lot of things going on. Summer is almost here as well. You know, who knows what the summer is going to bring.
So, summer 24.
Let's see how it goes.
The other day, I think it was probably you, like summer 16. What a year that was, man. What a year that was, summer 16. Wow.
Man, and crazy how much time has passed.
I know, like we're closing in on 10 years in summer 16.
I remember because it was the song, I was talking to somebody and she just started humming like, I'm looking for revenge. Hey. And I was like, yo, I haven't heard that song in so long. And then it just occurred to me, yo, all summer 16? That song came out in 2016. Yo,
yeah.
That's 8 years ago, man. Crazy.
That's somewhere, like, I remember where I was when that song came out because I think I just left the car wash and I was driving back. And then I can't remember, someone said, oh, Drake just dropped. I'm like, okay. Like, I went into my iPhone. And I remember playing the song, like I driving past Chinook Mall, where the first time I heard the song was driving past Chinook Mall. And but anyways, that's summer was nice though. Hopefully, you know, we can replicate some of that in 24. I doubt it though, but I don't know. I feel like the pandemic just ruined everything.
We're still blaming the pandemic. What are you blaming the pandemic for?
No, I don't mean like blaming, like, yeah, like it's over, but like, I feel like a lot of things has changed, like a lot of people change, like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, pandemic changed people is what I'm trying to say. So I'm not necessarily saying like, it's like cause and effect, right?
Yeah, I get it. I think I got you. It's not the environment of this
people. Yeah, exactly. I feel like a lot of people change, you know, I won't say fundamentally, but like, you know, to some degree. Francis, how was your summer? Do you remember summer 16?
No, like, was there, did any particular thing happen? Sorry, what is summer 16?
Summer 2016.
Yeah, did any, like, significant event happen in summer 2016?
Well, I wouldn't say, like, any significant event. I just say, like, vibes-wise, I think it's probably one of the best summers. Like, music-wise, the catalog of music.
Now that I think about it, I think... That was the year that somebody got shot after Caribana at
I know the place you're talking about.
Yes, and I remember like it was a Drake after party after Opio Fest. Future was there, LeBron was there, like a lot of people were there. And when I say there, it's like it was out in the open. It was the instead of having like a club inside, they did it.
Was it like outside, kind of like day party vibes at night?
And I'm trying to remember who I went with, but I know we had a table, and our table was like a table away from Future. And then LeBron, which is kind of ironic now that, you know, things fall apart. But who was there? French Montana was there. Obviously, Drake, this was post-OVO Fest. But yeah, I remember as we were leaving, we heard the gunshots. Like, inside. Because I guess some people had gotten into an argument, and it was kind of getting, like, towards the end. So there were like a lot of cabs. It was like almost like a roundabout or something. And I remember as soon as we heard the shot, I think it was me and Chidi, we were like talking to this cab guy that wanted to charge us like $100 to go from there to downtown, which is like a 5-minute drive. You're getting on Gardner, you're getting downtown. No more. And me, I was already inside. Like, we had the door kind of open, talking to the guy, like, guy, take $50, that kind of thing. This guy was still pricey. Bro, we had the shots.
I can see where this is going, and I'm laughing already.
Any story that Chidi is involved in is always funny. I don't know why.
Oh my.
Every time I think about Chidi, one of the first things that pops in my head is I am from Scarborough.
Guys, but extra large BYC shirt and drove all the way to Scarborough. I mean, where did you guys drive to that day?
Oh man, I don't want to talk about it, man. That's it's not one of the finest moments I've been involved with. I like to forget that day ever happened.
And y'all rolled in deep. It was like 9 guys.
Yo, I'm telling you, like, this is not even really deep. We could have died that day. And I'm not even talking about like engaging in like fisticuffs. I'm talking about the way we were driving. Like, niggas were driving past red lights just to get to that's what I'm saying. Like, so imagine all that like hype. You're like, yo, you know, if we get to this nigga, and then, you know, we get there and niggas are saying I'm from Scarborough.
I can remember the kind of music you guys must have been bumping on the road. Probably bumping like
Gucci Mane. Like, that's one of the days where that I wish I had stayed my ass back in Windsor.
I think I'm beginning to get an understanding of what this was. I know I wasn't there, but I think I know which one you're talking about now.
It's the same one. Like, you know, the same one. Famous Aya from. That's what I'm saying. Like, when I think about you, I think about Aya from Scarborough.
I don't even know, that part of the story. I don't even remember.
Did you ever hear about the part where we were chasing the guy driving through red lights?
That was the part I heard. Like, yeah, the chase.
The chase,
Barcelona scored, though.
Yes,
I just said that now.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Sorry, I was busy, like, you know, not thinking about what happened that day. it's true what they say, man. Like, a lot of beefs, a lot of fights, a lot of gunshots. Just that when it always involves women.
And you know the funny thing too is that day, because it was OVO Fest, so I think we had tickets to OVO Fest and we gave it out or something like that. It was one of those things where I think I got it late. And I was like, if I go to OVO Fest, by the time it ends and you try to come back to this
place,
you won't be able to get in anymore. So we got there early. I think I was with, like, I remember seeing Bright and this and Christian there or somebody else. And maybe I lagged. Like, I saw some guys, And so when we're leaving, I remember there were even like a bunch of girls around too. And I think it was one of those things where you're talking to people and you're trying to figure out what's going to happen next. Like, wait, where are you guys going? Once the shots rang, man, all man for themselves. Yeah.
I feel like there were a lot of shootings that year in Caribana. Like, if I remember correctly.
But those shootings never happened at like these parties. Like they have
the kind of event you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. So it was jarring, and it was like it was almost like it's Zovio Fest still going to be a thing going forward, because it was a girl that got killed at the end of the day. It was, I think she was like an innocent, like the shot she was with a guy, and I think it was the guy that had got into an argument or, you know, one of those things. So more than one person got shot, but she was the one that died. So yeah, it was sad. But yeah, anyway, yeah. Summer 16. Oh, not bad actually. From the little I remember, was you know, pretty decent time.
Another song that I remember vividly was 2019? Yeah, 2019. That was just the year before pandemic too. Like that's another good summer. Like especially because I was also at Caribbean at that. I think, were you there for 19 or was it 18 you were there for? Larry, I can't remember. Which year did Burna Boy come to Rebel?
To where? Oh, I didn't go for that one though.
Was that 2018 or 2019?
I don't know. Whatever that year was. I saw him in Vancouver and I saw him in Lagos, but I never saw him in that year. Oh, because that year you and I were in Toronto.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Madrid has scored though. Wow.
Yeah, we were in Toronto together, but I can't remember if you left before, because I know you postponed the concert. Yes, I remember now. You left. Yes, you left. I remember. Because
Yes. It was Rebel. I don't remember what year that was. That was the year we went to. We were in Cabana, right?
Yeah, Cabana, and then we went a couple of times that year. Like,
yeah,
we
yeah,
went to
yeah,
yeah. Was it Ice Tea or Tea, whatever that place is.
Yeah, not Ice Tea. Yeah.
What's it called again?
On Sundays.
Yeah, so we went from Ice Tea, or again, for people who live in Toronto, I'm probably butchering the name, but one of those. I see them went to Cabana.
I don't know if they survived.
They still do those day parties.
They still do them.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if it survived the what's it called, pandemic.
Because
when COVID happened, a lot of places like went belly up.
Yeah. And I think that night, like Chidi and them ended up on a boat or something like that after the Cabana. But anyways, yeah. good times. Anyways,
summers will be good. I think the summer is going to be good. I had a pretty decent last summer actually.
Last summer 2023. Yeah. Actually, yeah, like I think I had a decent summer too.
Bro, I had, like, actually, now that I think about it, I don't know. Well, before I started getting into pain, like man,
yeah, amazing.
Like Houston. Toronto.
Oh yeah, you. I remember. Yeah, you were, your summer started like pretty early.
Yeah. Oh man, it was a good time, man. Houston was a good time. Even Toronto was one for the books.
Toronto was nice too. Yeah, Toronto was nice too. I don't know.
Pivot.
Yeah.
Would you sell Rashford?
Are you thinking of Lucas Vasquez or something?
No, not Vasquez, but you saw the cross from Vinicius right now, right?
Yeah,
that Vasquez just scored.
Yeah. Would you sell Rashford?
Yes, if they answer my question, yes.
Larry.
Today is the closest that I've actually come to thinking about what to do with Rashford.
About what?
About what to do with Rashford. Like, it never really occurred to me to sell Rashford. But I watched him today, and the thing is, the problem with Rashford, I think, is... Okay, so there are two questions that I ask. One is the expectation that we have of him unfair? Like, is he good enough to match the expectation that we have of him? And then the second question is, who is he as a player? Because I remember like watching him and I remember thinking to myself, like, are we the only club where we don't really know how good our players are until it is too late? Like, and then I thought about Tony Marshall. Like, Marshall is not 30 years. And so, like, you're still wondering, like, who is Marshall? Like, who is he? Like, how good is he? Or, like, even Scott McTominay. Like, how good are these guys? Is it United? Are they good? So I don't know, man. With Rashford, I still think we need somebody that is going to play in that position. Or at least we need people. Let me say people. Like, you know, so even if it's not Rashford, if it's like, who is it then? Is it Garnacho? Is it? And then if we have to go and buy, like, who are we buying? Are they going to come in and be any better? Like, we haven't bought wingers like Sancho, Anthony. Some of our best wingers are actually people that come through the academy, and that doesn't say a lot. So I don't know. I don't know what I'll do with Rashford.
Before we get too in-depth on the Rashford thing, just a brief recap. So for those of you who don't know, the game ended in penalties, United 4-3, I think. United were leading for most of the part against Coventry, 3 goals. And then in the span of the last 15 minutes, we conceded 3 goals, which is, for my money, one of the most United performances ever. We almost bottled it, but at the end, we made it through penalties. Onana saved one, and then one of the Coventry players hit the ball over the bar, and that's how we went through to the next round. I think Haaland was the one who scored the winning penalty. But back to the issue with Rashford. I don't know, because when you think about overall, have you noticed that there's no player that we've sold that has gone elsewhere and has done better? You get what I'm trying to say?
I don't. None.
You mean
in recent history or ever?
Yeah, in recent history. Like when I'm talking about post Fergie.
I'd say
wow.
Yeah, it's not a lot of players, but for example, Di Maria has done better after I left United.
But Di Maria didn't even spend time with us though. Like he was here for a year max.
Has
Di Maria maybe really done better since he left United?
I think so. I think he has won the league in wherever he played.
He also won the World Cup.
He won.
Yeah, but yeah. We're not talking about what you won.
Talking about you as a player.
I never looked at Di Maria at PSG and thought, oh wow, like he became a central midfielder when he went to PSG.
Oh my God, are they going to score this goal?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Wow, I was actually.
Oh, he should have passed the ball now. Anyways, continue. So yeah, Di Maria. Yeah, you were saying.
I
feel like he became a different player, but I don't know that he was a bit like he the winger that we got. I don't know that. I think he played well initially when Van Gaal took over.
We got him, yeah. He was a talisman.
I think in Madrid he felt like a different player. Like the pace that I thought he had, he didn't have as much. The ability to go.
He still had that pace though. United, he had that pace though.
I know what Larry is saying. He looked different when he came to United. He was not as frightening quick as he was before he came to United. And that's.
But I think that also comes with age though.
No, come on. I mean, in the space of you lose that speed in space of 2 months or 1 month.
Di Maria is still playing. So like, how old was he when he left United? That was.
I'm not talking about his like him. I'm talking about pace wise.
But his pace was still there after he went to left United. Now, he was probably quicker in United. But Maria is probably not the only example I had in my head. I think Chris Smalling did better when he left United.
I guess. I think his peak was with Fergie though.
His peak. I don't think
whatever
so.
Whatever it is. I think he's better now, like it was.
I think when he was in Roma, it was better than when he was in United.
He's still in Roma.
I personally think so. And I think he had his peak years at Roma. I think so. I think Lukaku, but I'm not sure.
Lukaku. Okay, except you want to count the Inter Milan year.
Inter Milan now. The year under Conte.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
He went to Chelsea and then he reverted to form.
Yeah, but he's still better after he left United, though.
Yeah, so I guess my overall, the reason why I was asking that question, and the person who made me think about this was Arsenal selling Xhaka.
Okay, what's the link?
No, now, like, I feel like Xhaka is still, like, I won't say maybe not better, but like, I feel like he's a very, very good player post-Arsenal still. And I can't, and I was thinking, okay, like, what was the last United player that we sold? And we're like, oh, I wish we had kept this guy.
Oh, no, I personally, I think psychologically, I think I mentioned it before. I think Rashford needs to go.
Oh, I think he needs to go too. Like, yeah. Like, and I've said it a couple of years ago.
It's not good enough. But I think
he's not good enough, though.
He can't be better than this at United. And
you keep saying that like it's fact. I don't think you can see that.
No, right. And I'm not saying it because from an ability perspective. I just think Rashford is not, within himself, he's not driven anymore. And he needs a change of environment where he needs to start from scratch. Rashford is too comfortable at United. He is earning 350K for the next 4 years. He feels like he's set. Nothing can happen to him. And I'm sure
he was 300.
Whatever it is, 300, 350, 250. More than his abilities right now. What was I even say? For his international career, I think he has given up. Like, he doesn't really care about that anymore. He's in a stage where if he wants to move to the next step, he needs to leave that environment. And that environment is the United environment. Because mentally, Rashford is not there anymore. And if he's not there, he can't produce anything better than what he has done.
Again, we talked about this before, where we see one good season, one bad season, one good season, one bad season. Before last season, you also echoed the same thoughts that you didn't think Rashford was going to do anything. Yes, I remember, like, before last season, when I kept saying that Rashford was playing with a broken back, all these things, you're like, nah,
we've seen a similar season.
Yeah.
He doesn't, though, but we've seen Rashford have this similar season to last season in the past.
Okay, so if he gave you last season, are you saying that that's not a good enough season for what you expect of him?
Not really, because we were too dependent on Rashford.
Is that his fault?
No, it's not his fault, is what I'm saying. It's not his fault. But we were too dependent on Rashford. And Rashford was in the season where everything is just going on for him. I've seen Rashford have more bad downs than ups at United. Last season was an anomaly.
50-50. I think it's 50-50.
Yeah, sure, if you say 50-50, I won't argue. I won't say you're wrong.
So, but for me, it's like, who else can you say that about? You're saying that, okay, Bruno
in United.
Rashford. Yeah. Like, who do you trust? Okay, so if my point is, you're saying that we rely too much on him.
Yes.
Whose fault is that?
No, it's not his fault. That's what I'm saying.
No, himself. I know it's not his fault. But I'm asking you, whose fault is that?
Well, I don't understand your question.
We are relying too much on Rashford. If it's not Rashford's fault...
But this conversation is about Rashford, not...
I know, I'll tie it back to Rashford. I'm just
the team is not playing well now. The team is dead.
Yeah, but in spite of the team not playing well, it is still a decision to rely on certain players, right? You are saying I'm going to play around you or play to your strengths. Like, the team is not playing well. Scott McTominay has produced this season, but you wouldn't necessarily say that the team relies on Scott McTominay too much. Right? Like, the responsibility they don't put on him game by game. Same with, like, I think Meno is getting to that point a little bit now where we're saying, okay, we need you to carry on the responsibility of locking down this central midfield position, playing multiple games a week, all these kind of things. The responsibility is now different. My point is, the thing to me that separates some of these things that you're talking about with Rashford or with any player in particular isn't just the money, because a lot of these guys are going to make money. It is the responsibility. And like you said something there where you said he's like comfortable. The answer to that, to me, is not just selling him. Like, that's one option. But if we sell him, we don't know who is going to replace him. And if we are saying that, okay, we will now be forced to share that load equally, that is something that we can do today. Is we can either buy other players in his position that will push him, because I don't think Rashford only starts. There's nobody that you can say deserves to start. Like,
that wing?
No. I don't know if I agree with that. Like, for example, I think Garnacho has done way better than Rashford this season. But yes. And Garnacho has been forced to play on the right, number one, because Anthony is not playing very well. Number two, what's his name? Seniority from on that left wing. That's why Rashford is playing. So I don't know you if you say there's nobody doing better than him. Where ETH has failed 100% is not giving Ahmad enough chances or trusting Ahmad enough, because I even just from watching Ahmad today, just the glimpses, the little things that he was doing.
I agree with you.
Way better than Anthony. Like, the confidence to just hold the ball, trying to find somebody, not losing the ball when he has it. If you can do trust Ahmad to play there, trust Garnacho on the left hand side and put Rashford on the bench. Let him gain perspective. Rashford will play 20 games, play rubbish all through, but he knows he's going to start because he's Rashford. So that
means
I
don't think it's because he's Rashford. Yes, I agree. There's the element of that. I think it's because he knows he's better than the other ones.
But he has not proven.
But he's not showing it though.
Yeah,
he actually has.
No,
right? Like, obviously last season, we're not talking about like.
We're talking about this season, not last season.
But okay, but if you are ETH, right? Do you trust Ahmad? Like, again, I don't think it's as easy as I can take you out, bring this person. I can do rotations. Yes, I think
so.
He trusts his players to be rotated a lot more. But if he has somebody that has actually played well for him and he's watching this guy, he might be feeling like, I know that this guy still has it in him to play well. Like, it's the same thing with Casemiro. Casemiro's one for me is even worse, right? Because it's like the same thing that I said with Casemiro and with Amrabat before Amrabat got injured. Like, why don't we see Amrabat? Because I know what I'm going to see with Casemiro, and it's not good enough. But he starts Casemiro every game. So this is somebody that, to me, when I look at these problems, these are problems of United, not just Rashford. Because in a team where Rashford is one of three or four solid options, he cannot try this. He cannot try this. And so it's like, even if you take Rashford out and it is Garnacho, who's to say that Garnacho is not going to become this tomorrow?
Yeah, but
that's
we can't.
What I'm saying.
But we don't know. You don't know until you try, I guess.
I don't think you plan based on if we remove Rashford today, is it going to happen to Garnacho tomorrow? I think you would consider many factors. If this guy is not performing,
but I think that's what you guys are doing. You guys are saying we have two options.
No,
and then we have three
that's not
unknown.
That's not what I'm saying.
Let's take out one of the social options.
That's not what I'm saying.
So what are you saying then?
I'm saying for the amount of money he's getting paid to the output that we're seeing on the field, it's not linear. It should, and I will take the risk letting go of the person that is getting paid the most, who is from an age perspective is older than everyone else. His chances of improving is tougher psychologically. He has been through the worst phase of United in the past 6, 7, 8 years.
Bro, we're still in the worst phase.
That's what I am saying. I'm going to start off. I didn't hear the last thing you said.
Hey, Bellingham just scored again.
What's the last thing you said?
90th minute.
From the free kick.
We're still in the worst phase. Yes, and if someone is getting paid this amount of money and you're not producing, then why should I be doing that?
Well, I don't think the money matters.
Like, I think the money matters from an expectation standpoint,
maybe. But, like, to me, it's like you have a play. Like, somebody still has to take that spot.
I think the money matters now. I think the money matters 100% right now, especially with the phase United is in from a financial fair play standpoint, where we are trying to go, like what we're trying to do, the team we're trying to build. You can't be having passengers earning X amount of money.
I think it's unfair to call him a passenger after one season.
Ah, Omo, this guy, he's
like, I'm talking about his current contract, right? It's like,
he's a conductor right now. Like, he's hanging on the bus.
But a lot of people are conductors, right? Like, to me, again, it's like, you are saying that he might be one of our best players. I'm not saying he's a great player. I just want to be clear. But he's one of our better players, however you want to put it, right? Now, he's not playing well. I'm not arguing with that. What I'm saying is you are going to remove one of those and replace it with something that is uncertain when we don't even have enough of these right now. Right? Like, yeah. And to me, it's like if you get a player that you think is going to challenge Rashford in that position, that player shows that I'm going to be consistently able to replace whatever Rashford's contributions are, then you sell him.
No. Larry, I don't agree. Larry, Rashford is not hungry. Rashford is not hungry anymore. And to win, I think you need that culture of hunger. Like, you need to be hungry. You need to want it. Rashford does not show me when he plays that he wants it. And that's, I told you before, I think I said it 2 pods ago. That's why sometimes I would give Bruno the benefit of the doubt. Because regardless of how shit he plays, you still see the hunger and the drive in him. That's why with Bruno, I would never question that. I would question his performance or his ability on the field. But when it comes to the commitment and wanting it, I never will I do that. Rashford, the comfort that I see in him every day, I don't know if he's a driven person. And that is like a... regardless of what
get we get to the levels that he has gotten without being driven, though.
What level?
Yeah, even but... the argument that we've seen the best of Rashford.
Larry, what level has Rashford got into?
He's got 30 goals last season.
Okay.
Is that a mistake?
No, but Martial has gotten 26 goals in a season at United.
Yeah, but 26 is not 30 plus goals.
What difference does it make?
Okay, the season that because again the responsibility is different. Like the season that Martial scored 26 goals, how many goals did Rashford score that season? Was it no more than 20?
Yeah, 20 something goals.
Yeah. So like last season, when it's only Rashford, you don't score, we don't win. Martial never had that. Like that's different. Like to me, it's like Ahmad has never had that, maybe for Sunderland. So it's like, you either...
Yeah, but you can't have that if you don't play him, though, I guess is my point. Like, you can't just project...
It's not, like, this is the difference between, like, it's not just about playing well, right? Like I said, Bruno and Rashford have a different responsibility level from Hoyland or from Garnacho. Like, Garnacho maybe is coming on in that sense. But my point is, like, the standard you are holding Bruno to, you are holding Rashford to, maybe you want to say it's about the money, but it's also because he has given you that idea that I can do this. If you never thought he was capable of more, you would not even be as upset. But you're looking at him and you are looking like a shadow of even if I don't think you are Mbappe or you reach those kind of levels, you are looking like a shadow of yourself. And so for me, it's like, that is also part, like the club is also the problem. Like, do you want to see what Vinicius Junior looks like in a Madrid team that is not successful? And all the antics and all the raising your hands and all the it would be very similar to what you see from Rashford.
It would not be.
Bro,
there's something easier to run in
there's a video I watched of Ian Wright talking about Vinicius on YouTube, and then they said something about can we relate this to Rashford. There was a comment he made, and I don't know what for, but I don't want to quote it. That's why I'm actually jumping on what you just said now. They are two totally different players.
They are not two totally different players, because if Vinicius wasn't in a winning team, all the antics people will start doing.
But antics and effort are two different things, though. They don't correlate.
Larry, did you watch Rashford's
efforts?
Did you watch Anders Pereira's episode on Rio Ferdinand's podcast?
No, I think I saw like a few minutes, but I didn't really watch it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
If you can listen to what he says about Vinicius and Rodrigo.
I saw that part. He talks about Vinicius being explosive.
Yeah,
he talks about Rodrigo. No, again, I'm not talking about. See, what I'm saying is, it's easier for you to shine and to play well when you are in a team that is functional.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that one.
And a lot of the antics that we talk about with Rashford, I think, are down to being in a dysfunctional team. Yes, the running and all of that is disgusting, right? But to me, it's like we're talking about, should we sell him or not? This team that we watch, if you sell Rashford, who are you buying that is going to give you good wing? We have 7 wingers right now. Rashford is not the problem with those wingers, the other wingers, right? So to me, it's like you haven't even shown that you can consistently build this squad. So why are you selling your better players?
No, I would sell my better players, get that fund, and put it around the team instead of carrying.
But
carrying,
you trust these guys to?
I would take the. If I use that money to buy 3 players, the chances of one of them clicking is more than just keeping Rashford.
We have
that
7
team.
Players that we.
How many 7?
We have Ahmad. We have Pelestri. Mm-hmm. We have Pelestri.
Why are you calling 7 players? Like, who's Pelestri? When last you
Pelestri
played?
Pelestri started for this season.
Guy.
No? Again, you're saying guy. Okay. You're saying
it's like calling Reece Nelson for Arsenal. Like, how many games did we play?
But who are you going to buy? Is it not somebody like Pelestri that you're hoping that is going to blow?
It's the job of the scouts to find player now.
But that's my point. Have the scouts shown that they can do the work?
Again, on that new system, I'm removing him. That's my own answer, Sasha.
Yeah.
So Larry, what you're saying is that because we know that we can do better, like, we shouldn't make any changes, is what it sounds like.
No. I'm saying if you want to do better, you show that you can do better first. Like, if you have a better team, right, then you are less dependent on Rashford. If you are less dependent on Rashford, then you can make a decision from a position of power. We are not in a position of power, right? All these things that we are saying about dysfunction and...
What does that have to do with Rashford as a player? So are you saying if we show that we're a better team and Rashford is still providing the same performances, then we will be in a better position to say, you will be in a better position to say yes or no if we should sell him or not. Is that what you mean?
100%.
Okay, and that's fair. I understand that.
Yeah, but anyways, I don't even know what to talk about the game. We were up 3 goals. I guess, Larry, did you see us capitulating the way we did, like losing 3 goals in 15 minutes in that game?
It crossed my mind for a second, but I never, like, when it was 3-0, they had a chance. This was like 70 something minutes. They had a chance. Did they hit the bar or something? They had a chance, Sha, before they scored. And I just remember thinking, I looked at the time. And at this point, I remember even thinking, maybe it should start making subs, you know, to rest some of these guys. But the thing is, even though we were 3-0 up, we never played. Like, I never got the feeling that this was a game that we played well. You know what I mean? Like, even as we were 3-0 up, like, it just feels, I don't even know how to put it. It just felt like another nothing game. You know, you just, you're looking at it, going through the motions. And then once they scored 3-1, I thought, eh, okay, add some gloss to the score line. Once that second goal went in, I knew we were going to concede the third goal. Once that second one went in, I knew for sure. And at that point, now you begin to think about it like, okay, we have not shown, like we had now really fallen back for a long time. So can we even get, can we, if anybody is going to score going forward, is it us? And you think about how lucky we were, right? Like they had chances. We also had some chances. Like at 3-2, I think Hoyland had like a decent enough chance. Like in the box, I forget what he did with it, but he either turned around or something. But ultimately, I'm just looking at it like, you're not surprised, right? Like, I was not 100% sure. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if we lost this game. I would not. But I would not have expected us to lose it this way if we're going to lose it. And if not for, like, VAR and this guy being a little bit offside, I guess there's no little bit offside, being offside, like, this would have been the final nail in ETH's coffin. There's no way you let Coventry come back from 3-0 to 4-3 and lose it that way and you survive, right? So I don't even know what to make of it. Like, I don't know that there are a lot of people that are celebrating. Once we went to penalties, I thought United would win. When it comes to penalties, it always feels like the bigger team seems to win more often than not. I don't know why, but so I just felt like, okay, United will squeak by with penalties. But again, it's just, you know, it's very telling of our season, and it's very telling of where we are as a team right now.
Yeah, I think the takeaway for me is just mostly that for some, like, we are just finding like new lows as we go, as the season progresses in terms of our performances. Because I can't, like, the first half, I even like it was so boring. Like, I had to go watch something else, because we can't win, we can't entertain. Then what's the point of like putting people out on the field there to play football for? I guess is my point. Like, what's the point? We can't string together passes. We can't hold the ball. We can't. Okay, we scored 3 goals, but you know what I mean. Like, we're not consistent in any kind of form, shape, or in any aspect of when it comes to football. And at that point, I'm like, why are we doing this?
Bro,
what's the point?
We conceded 3 goals to Coventry in 16 minutes or something. I think the first goal was like 70 something minutes. You're conceding 3 goals to Coventry in like 16 minutes for what? Coventry. And it's not like they're at home. You're playing them in Wembley. So I don't know, man. And then you hear ETH. He looked, even the way he was celebrating the goals, I thought was embarrassing. But again, I guess, you know, this is what happens. You have to celebrate, because look at how close they were to losing. So maybe he's looking at it and thinking to himself.
I was reading a quote from him saying, there's mixed feelings, but then they are happy that if you compare this to the United teams, the great United teams, they only made it to the final 3 times, that he has done it twice in 2 years. I'm like, are you sure you should not just be speaking in your language and trying to transmit it? Because I would hate to believe that this is what you really mean. In English, it makes no sense to me.
Imagine what
he means by like the great United teams when they made it. United are the record holders for FA Cup, or maybe Arsenal are taking over us now.
He's fighting for his job. Like, he's been in fighting mode for a long time, man. So he's trying to like, I guess, big up like, you know, the fact that he's been to the cup final like twice. And again, it's not like, it's not something to poo-poo at. Like, to be fair, like, it's an achievement. Like,
the getting to the final and losing last season, or the getting to the final again because
and losing again.
Like,
well, I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to find the positives for him, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Again, I think the issue with United is just bigger than the coach. I get that part, but I don't think the coach is showing himself as part of the solution going forward. I guess it's just why I think when it comes to ACH.
I think they really want to keep him. If I like,
the and way, that's my point. I feel like they want to keep him too. I feel like
you want to keep him in place, but I don't think he's showing enough to give them any confidence that they should. Right. I don't know. Again, like we've talked about this, it just feels like we're playing to the level of our competition constantly. And you're going to now talk about injuries and who needs to come back and all these things. Like, I don't know. We just don't look like a very well-coached team. And I hate hearing about the injuries. Like, I understand that, like, there are a lot of injuries. I get that. But these are players that have been training. It's not like they're not training. They've been training with you for two seasons. So they don't know what you expect of them. Like, even if you're changing the defense, like, is it that they don't know what to expect? Or, like, today I watched Madrid, Barcelona. Tchouaméni is playing in center back. Nacho is not playing. Nacho played their last game.
Kamavinga
is playing left back. Eder Militao has been injured for most of their season. Mendy that played, left back the other game, he's out. Kamavinga came in. Carvajal that played right back, but Vasquez is playing there now. These are not people that are, these are their natural positions. And they don't look like they are lost in the team. Like, so for me, it's just like, where is the evidence of your coaching? Again, that's the thing I keep going back to. Like, there are other teams that you can watch. Like today, in our group chat, somebody was talking about Crystal Palace, who I haven't watched, but they're like, oh, Crystal Palace looks like a different team now that they have this guy. The way they play is a little more different. And it's like, you can't tell me that there's no evidence for like seeing a coach make a difference on the players that are on the pitch. And I just don't see it. The way we play out from the back, the way we press, the way we, like, you know, even Bruno, like, you look at Bruno, and I get what you guys are saying about he puts in a shift, and I'll never argue about that. But who is Bruno? Like, what is his game anymore? He doesn't... It's like, I see that they say he's created the most chances, but I don't see it when I watch the games. He doesn't score, like, he scored today, but he doesn't score like before. So his impact, like, I feel like sometimes I even see more of, like, Mino when he's playing than I see of Bruno.
Like, Bruno, do you know why? Do you know why that is?
His impact feels much less.
Because Mino is not afraid to get the ball and hold the ball. That's why
Yeah, but again, this is like the same conversation we had with Rashford. You've seen a Bruno that was effective, or at least more effective. Let me not say effective, because effective and efficient can be confused.
Yeah.
You've seen a Bruno that is more effective than he is today. So when there are like so few players that are playing well, to me, again, like I keep going back to, it's very hard for me to say that all of these players are trash. Like, I don't have any faith in homeboy. It doesn't look like fifth is going to get Champions League spots anymore. So even from that position now, when you think about what are we playing for? Is it just the FA Cup? And by then, I'm guessing like Martinez will be back. Some of your thieves will be back.
Funny enough, I was just looking at Martinez on Instagram. Yo, Martinez is like 5'4", eh? What the fuck is wrong with ETH?
No, but I feel like you're nitpicking now. I feel like you're nitpicking.
I mean, nitpicking how?
I don't think Martinez's height has ever, you know, stopped him from playing good football. I guess
that's
my point.
No. That's maybe it sounded like that's what I was saying.
Oh, okay.
So I said Martinez like 5'8". What the fuck is ETH? And my next, I wanted to say, why does he keep playing Aaron Wan-Bissaka in left back? So I guess it kind of sounded like I was blaming
him
for Martinez.
Okay.
No, yeah, that came out wrong. I don't know if Martinez will be ready for the final. But why is this guy playing Wan-Bissaka in left back?
I guess who do you want him to play in left back then?
Who can he play?
Play Dalot in left back now.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Dalot is a better.
What difference is that going to make?
Dalot is a better player than a Wan-Bissaka, and Dalot has experience.
Going to have to start.
Yeah, I get. But
no. I think what he's saying is that
Wan-Bissaka has more experience playing right back than left back for himself. Dalot has more experience playing left back than Aaron Wan-Bissaka. So why would you put Aaron Wan-Bissaka there? Do you notice in the past three games, Wan-Bissaka has made us concede in the last minute from the left?
Okay, but think about it. Wan-Bissaka didn't just make us concede in the last minute, even before that. But Wan-Bissaka's problem isn't where he's playing. It's the same problem he'll have on the right or the left. It's like, look at the
I understand that, but isn't he feeling more uncomfortable playing on the left and the right?
I just think his concentration levels are not what they need to be for an elite player.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think that's what... Yeah.
But then
that,
moving
like,
him now to the left in a place he
where,
doesn't
exactly,
play,
where he's not used to.
It makes it even worse.
Aren't you adding more to the jitters?
Francis, if I play you on the right or play you on the left, like, I think if you have a problem of my weaker leg is harder for me to tackle, I can understand that. But
yes.
Positionally, you're going to be doing very similar things.
No. Your body position when you're playing left back or right back is different, especially when you're about to run. If I'm a lefty and I'm about to run, my left foot is forward because I run with it. It's my dominant foot to run. So my body position has to face where my... I don't know how to explain it. My body position has to face where my left foot is facing. If I'm on the right, it is the other way around. Now, Wan-Bissaka cannot even use his right leg to the best of his abilities, not to talk of his left. It makes it a little bit more difficult for him. If he's having positional issues on the right, it's going to be more glaring on the left. That's what I think. If you put me on the right, it's going to be confusing for me, especially how to position myself when I am about to run. I run better when I am starting with my left. Is going to be tough for him. So that's why I keep wondering why he keeps doing that. The foul, the penalty he caused against Liverpool, I think it was what's that guy's name again? Not Brandon Williams. The guy from Liverpool, Elliot. If Wan-Bissaka was on the right-hand side, the chances of him getting that ball is higher than on the left because of his starting position. And I don't know why ETH persists with doing this. He keeps saying he plays players in a position because they've created synergy or something. But what freaking synergy are you creating there, man? When you remove Garnacho in the 50-something minute and you're bringing another player, doesn't it break any synergy that you've built? Just for that positional play he does, I'm ready to sack ETH right now.
ETH is not going anywhere. He has one more year.
He what? Hello?
Yeah, no, I think they want to keep him. That's what I think. I think they desperately want him to stay. And I just don't know if it's going to, like, if he's going to force their hand. Because, again, if they let go of him, they have to pay him and his entire staff, you know, which is not going to be, which is money that I don't know that they have today. And then who is the obvious candidate that can turn this thing around, right? Like, I think you can see now Nagelsmann has signed with Germany. Pochettino looks like he might stay at Chelsea as well, but who's going to take over Bayern Munich, right? So there are all these kind of questions, and then who do you get at United as well? So I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. Who are we playing this week? I think we have two games this week, right?
No. Well,
Sheffield in the middle of the week.
And Bournemouth.
No, we just played Bournemouth now.
Oh, sorry. Burnley is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, really? At home?
Yeah. I don't know, but I know we have them back to back. Yeah, actually, we're playing both of them at home.
Oh.
Those are probably our final home games for the season.
No, we still have Arsenal now at home.
Oh, you're right. No, actually, we have Arsenal. We have Newcastle.
Oh, we haven't played Newcastle?
Yeah, because we have a double game week coming up. I know, but that's why I thought it was this week, but it's not this week. What? It's probably game week 37, I think is what it is, that we have a double game
week. When you say double game week, what do you mean? Like two games in the week?
Yeah.
Yeah, two games in a game.
So the Sheffield and Burnley game, when are those? Aren't they like two?
No. I'm talking from an FPL standpoint. Like if you're fantasy league, like, so basically you get... It's the same game week. It counts like game week 37, but then you have two games of that week. In this week, we have two games, but we only have one Premier League game, if that makes sense. So we have the cup game today, and we have the Premier League game on Wednesday, and that's the end of the game week.
Yeah, bro, we're not talking about FPL. I'm not playing that thing that you guys are.
But I'm just trying to explain to you when I see double game week in my head. That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's not only FPL though. Like, that's how EPL counts it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because for EPL, this is game week 34,
I think.
It is 34. Yeah,
34.
So in game week 34, there are some clubs are playing twice.
Yeah. Okay, I get you. I was just thinking about the week ahead, right? Like, how many games do you have this week?
Technically, this week ahead, we have two games. We have one game on Wednesday. We have one game on Saturday. So to answer your questions, yes, we have two weeks. But they count as two different Premier League game weeks, is my point.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, I don't know. I guess we can talk about the Wednesday one because we're not, I don't know, because there is already Sunday.
Who will record before the second game? I guess we'll see how Wednesday goes.
But let's talk about Sheffield United.
I mean, talk about Sheffield. Like,
yeah, let's talk about Sheffield.
It's not like we're going to say anything brand new, you know. still the same old shit. But again, I guess what we can factor into it is that we've had a lot of injuries. Funny. I was going to say we've had a lot of injuries, but that's probably been the story of the season. But Rashford I don't know if he was faking it, if he was having a Saka moment. You know, Saka has this thing when he plays rubbish, he starts to limp. Let it be like, you know, I'm one star. So, Rashford saw the light ahead that, man, these guys are going penalties. He faked an injury and walked out. Now, and we won. He didn't want to go through what he went through for England. Loser. Anyways, Rashford is injured. I don't know. Varane's injury, is it that bad?
Damn, this guy really just like went in on Rashford.
Rashford. Before, you know, fuck it. I don't even want to talk about Rashford. What's Varane's injury like?
I don't know. I haven't heard any news on Varane's injury.
Even Grandpa.
Who's Grandpa?
Johnny Evans.
Nah, those guys are not. I don't think they're coming back just now. Willie Kamba. Wait, what is it? Kambala. What's his name for Kampala.
Kampala. Yeah.
He's also injured, which is why Casemiro played.
Wait, is he injured already? What are our physios doing though? Like, these injuries are not normal injuries.
Bro, even Harry Maguire, I'm pretty sure, is playing with an injury right now. So
Harry Maguire said it today that he has not been able to train all week because he's recovering from an injury or something.
Fire the old physio staff, man. Like, what the fuck? Are we the only club that has double game? Oh, I just saw Rash for limping now. They're showing highlights.
Wait, what channel?
He came out of the game now. Like, he had cramps.
Larry, what
channel? ESPN box? Plus. Yeah, on the box. That's where I watched the cup game. So they are showing that's why I watched the Madrid game. So they are showing ESPN FC. So they are showing highlights of the game. They just showed Rashford limping off. Yeah.
I forget that your box is different from ours.
Yeah. But anyways, Bruno Hidibashi, I didn't see that during the game.
Oh yeah, that's yeah, and there they hit the bat too now, like three minutes before.
I saw the one that they hit, but I can't remember seeing the Bruno hitting the back part.
I think it was an Ahmad pass, right?
I can't remember who passed. I just saw him hit the bat.
Yeah, it was probably Ahmad. He was the only one
Then the commentary now the chance of that guy, that American guy.
Yeah, they had almost hit the bat too, you know.
Yeah, that was so close to going in. God damn it. Anyways, we're on to the all Manchester final again. Another loss on the books for ETH. Okay.
Jibo, please mute. I beg. Snacks. City is different. 3-1.
Anyways, what are your thoughts on the Sheffield game, Larry? I said Larry. Francis, what do you think? How do you see that going for us? Sheffield is the one that Ashola and KRB. I mean, it's not Sheffield.
No, that's Bournemouth.
Oh.
Sheffield is the bottom team in the season, in the league. Like they have.
I thought that was Burnley.
No, Burnley is well. They are going hand in hand. It's like
neck and neck.
It's like pink and mauve. What's
I'm
it called?
Trying to think who. Oh, Archer, that's their striker. Okay, I see.
Mac was Burnley. It.
They just showed that offside, man. That was a close offside, yeah.
Yo, their coach said that unfortunately their striker did not cut his toenails.
That was a very close offside, man. Like,
oh god.
And then Casemiro with the laziest penalty I've seen.
Yo, what happened to Casemiro's legs? Yeah.
Casemiro is dumb. My guy came, won the first cup, and he's like, yo, I'm good. Think about it. Has he played better since that cup final?
No,
that we all watched together.
Casemiro is done, bro. He's done. Like, good.
Yeah. Casemiro. But anyways, back to Sheffield. Thoughts on the game, Francis? So we can wrap this up.
What can I think about, bro? No, be me and you, they watch them. There's nothing to think about. Like, United has shown us their hand this season.
Do you think United will win? Maybe I should just ask that question straight up there.
We'll win, but it won't be a convincing win. It'll be a win where we scrape. Maybe we might win 2-1 or 3-2. They will score. We will score. It's now who scores the most. I think Ireland
score last.
I think Ireland is going to score.
Yo, I feel for Ireland, though. Again, not to sidetrack us.
Why do you feel for him?
I don't know. He's not just getting that service, man. We talked at the beginning of this call. We talked about the pass that Vinicius crossed. Like, who in our
team? He got his service today from Bruno. The guy was there trying to turn around.
Yeah, like, but
the boy needs to grow up too.
If you don't get as you can't be giving him 1 out of 100 passes and not say okay.
This is the problem I have with United is that United would train you to watch football like. Like chances are like finding oasis in the desert.
That's my point though. So that's like
we're talking about one chance that this boy had. He will run thanklessly for a whole game. We get one chance, we miss the chance, then they will say he needs to grow up. If he stops running tomorrow, then we'll look at him and say that he's lost his hunger.
No. Wait. Let's not get it twisted. I'm not blaming Hoyland here. Let's not get it twisted.
No, right. but I'm but, saying, like, I'm not even trying to attack what you are saying. What I'm saying is, how long do you run around every game before they break your spirit? Like, you're a striker. Your goal is not to be running into channels all the time and be trying to hold up ball. You also want to score. That's the thing that made you a striker. So, like, when I watch him and he gets one chance, maybe he gets two moments the whole game, like, it's so tough to play that way. We talk about like look at Madrid today. Okay, they don't have a recognized striker, but like look at the people in positions of attack. Like Bellingham will get some good chances. Maybe you get two or three good chances, you score one, right? Or at least he's in positions. Even if he doesn't score, he can pass. He can influence the outcome of whether or not they score. And so the pressure is not always on you. And I just think the way we play at United, where it's like, now, this last like 4 or 5 games, for whatever reason, we've scored more goals. Like, we're scoring more than one or two. We're also conceding more than one or two a game. but it doesn't feel like we're creating enough chances, especially for our striker. And I feel for him, like Jibo said, for the same reasons. I think he works really hard doing like the hold up play or pressing, some of the things that we say Rashford doesn't do. And I don't feel like the team rewards him. Like, I think sometimes when these guys are in,
it definitely doesn't get rewarded.
What should we, what should we reward him with? Like
chances.
With chances, with crosses. With early crosses,
if
number one.
If Rashford gets into some of these positions, now he's going to shoot. If Rashford gets in this position, he'll shoot. Like, nah. Like, if this, it's like in basketball, if you see, like, your big man rebounding.
Your big man. They always say reward the big man. Look,
yeah. So that, because the rebounding is not, is you say, it's okay, it's your job. Until it's not rebounded, then you see how it is now.
I beg, you should go and sign up for a rewards program. All those things, like, I don't, like, he's doing well. He's doing okay. He just needs to do better. That's all. I don't know.
What do you want him to do better? What do you want him to do better?
In life, you have to improve.
Francis is just frustrated. Leave Francis. Let him just let it out.
In life, you have to improve. Like, I don't understand what he has to do. Okay, to be honest, I think he can do better with not losing the ball when he has it. Right, and I think that's probably my biggest issue with Hoyland nowadays.
I feel like he does a pretty decent job of like hold up play.
Yeah, holding up play is one thing. Now finding someone else is another thing. I think his decision making needs some fine tuning or improvement. It will come over time. The more he plays and whatnot, it will come for sure. But it's just
like even stuff like that. The problem I have with it is that. Even me, when I'm watching, okay, today there was a chance that Ahmad had where he was running through midfield. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking to myself, like, he doesn't look like he knows where the runs are supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And that feels like it always happens with United. Do you get what I mean? Like, if you watch a lot of other teams, you know that one person is going to be overlapping, one person is going to stretch. That, like, with United, it just feels like when we run, we're figuring it out as we are running. And it's just like there was a chance that Jamie, you're talking about with Madrid this today from a Barcelona corner where you see Vinicius and there's somebody else with him. And the cover
was
like,
Vasquez, I think.
Yeah, in like.
It's similar to Garnacho and Ahmad's run versus Liverpool.
Yes. But think about Garnacho and Ahmad's run. Like, think about how. Like, by the time Ahmad takes that shot, he's not in the best position. He scores, though, and we're grateful that he scored. But you get what I mean? Like, it's not...
The pass could have been better. The pass wasn't the best.
Yes. Like, those... And that's... I feel like it's always like that with United. Like, the passing is not crisp, especially for a team that's supposed to be transitional. Like, I feel like we were even better at this. Like,
We're definitely better than we are now
when it comes to some of these, like... I don't know, anyway. Sorry.
So, anyway, so your question.
Yeah.
Finish your thoughts on Ola and then I'll just ask my question.
30 year old. I think he's trying.
I think he's trying. I think he definitely can improve. He can do better. Making the right decisions. It will come with time. And with training, of course, understanding.
It will come with this crop of ringers that we have, Shaz.
No, it definitely will not come with them. Definitely, and he goes back to the Rashford. I feel like if Hoyland has a winger, that his first thought is to find a striker, Hoyland will eat. Because although some days I see Hoyland moving a lot in the box, sometimes it can just be. I service is just moving for moving sake, just to make up numbers. But at least he's moving, you know. Unlike some players that don't know how to move, he had wingers that could beat a man and just, you know, how to whip it into the box over and over again. Because I know my striker is going to be here. Hoyland is going to eat because physically he has it.
Yeah, he's big.
Speed,
yeah.
He has it, you know. And I think he has that eye for goal, but that comes over time as well, right? But Rashford, he would dilly-dally, hold the ball, move slow, run into the whole brick wall, run into the ad board, and you will now be standing Like, I want to catch Rashford in the room and knock him out. Like, I swear. You know when someone is annoying you that you just want to, you want to bite his arm. Rashford, his big boy is too much.
I'm gonna leave Rashford a little bit. This is what we've done to ourselves. I don't even blame Rashford, to be honest with you.
God,
I don't even blame him. I feel like this is just what this is what United is as a, you know, as an organization.
I wonder if it is that the coach is trying to tell them what to do and they cannot do it, or he's not. And again, this is where, like, when I talk about, like, having a coach that has a predictable set of principles or style of play that you can then judge the players on.
Yeah, it's easier to judge the players.
To me, a lot of what we're talking about comes down to not, like no direction, like, not enough coaching, actual coaching. Like, if you're telling Rashford, in this position, I expect you to do this or this. This is what you are reading. These guys, we're going to overlap. Like, consistency in the way that we play that can then repeat itself so that you keep getting in the same positions, and then all you are telling the players freestyle, right? Like, I feel like Madrid, when I heard Bellingham talk today, he said we don't
freestyle
play,
yeah, actually he said Ancelotti told them to just go and play.
Yes, he says he gives us a lot of freedom in attacking areas, but that's because these are players that have now shown that if you allow them to wing it, or to come up with it, what's the word for, like, to I've forgotten this word, but to, like, come up with it on the fly, right? They will be able to do it because their players are the highest levels. If our own team is showing you that we can't do it, then maybe you need to have more of a structure. Francis said something about, like, if you have players that can beat a man across, like, to me, I don't know, those wingers don't seem to exist. Like, I don't know who you would call, like, maybe Doku in Man City.
Yeah, Doku, Grealish before he joined Man City, I think, or even early Man City days, Grealish, that was his job.
Yeah, but it's very tough because I think that's the kind of person that Rashford kind of is. I know we will have a disagreement about that, but what I mean is, it's very hard to find wingers that will get their man one-on-one these days, right? Like,
well, you also have Sané. Sané does that for Bayern.
Yeah, but I don't know that Sané is somebody that Bayern has, like, really relied on over the years. I feel like Gnabry has played. I guess maybe Sané. I don't watch him enough anymore.
Even if you are not putting the ball in the box and you are beating your, like, okay, beat your man first of all.
I agree.
Beat your man.
Talking about beating your man, right? Because like Coventry today, towards the end of the game, where they started getting chances is where they were putting crosses into the box. It wasn't like they were dribbling to put crosses into the box. They were just using fast overlap. You know what I mean? But that's coaching, right? That's coaching to tell me that, we are now at the point where we need these chances.
I agree with the coaching part, right? But you can see, I think it also comes with common sense. You can see Dalot, anytime the winger on the right-hand side has the ball, Dalot is always overlapping. Most of the time, they never pass the ball to him. And he always looks like he's wasted effort. I agree with you. I'm saying the same thing you're saying. On the other wing is the opposite. Rashford is not even looking for anybody overlapping. He's just
That's Wan-Bissaka. Are you looking for Wan-Bissaka?
He was doing some of this when Shaw was there too, though.
It's a different experience.
No, it's not a different experience. Rashford is a
different experience. You guys, stop it.
Shaw has played this season, though.
He doesn't do anything.
Why are you acting like Shaw hasn't played this season? Like, we haven't had the same issue with Rashford.
Shaw played this season?
Yeah.
Wait, are you telling me that you don't think Rashford is a better player when Shaw is playing with him?
I'm not saying that. We're talking about the idea of passing when you... when you get to that point.
I beg, let's not start another episode of Rashford.
Yeah. Anyways, Larry, if you're a coach, right, you are pulling off film. Like, again, this is 2 years.
If you're a coach, you're doing what?
You're pulling off film. Guys, after the game, you're going to have a film session. You're going to go over the last game. What are you telling them? Okay, pause. In this position, what are you looking at? Garnacho, Dalot, this is the third time he's overlapped. Why haven't you passed him the ball here? Because again, it's not this game. It's not one game. It's not two games. It's not four games. It's not 10 games. So what are you? What are you doing? What are you telling them? What are you? What?
Nothing. You're telling them nothing.
When we go back to Rashford, that's part of what I'm saying. It's like, is it that you are playing Rashford because you can't?
My life knows.
Life knows stress.
They don't do Rashford.
Larry, are we going to beat Sheffield?
Yeah, we're going to beat Sheffield. It's not going to be a good game, though. It's not going to be an easy game. We're going to play to the level. I wouldn't be surprised if Sheffield has more possession than we do.
If Sheffield has another 20 plus shots, they should just fire. It should just go on from there.
Listen, the over under on that 20, expect at least 20. Easily. Easily. Expect at least 20.
It should just, as soon as he leaves the press conference, he should not even do press conference at all. Just go to his office, pack his bags, and just head home. Because golly. And then we're not playing Burnley after that.
That if you are a good coach, you should be able to rest your players. Exactly. And play some other players, because these guys just played 120 minutes this today. But this man doesn't believe in changing anybody or resting anybody or removing anybody. So he's going to play a lot of the same guys that we saw before. And these guys are going to be tired, more tired than they already show you that they are on a weekly basis. Right? So now I think it's going to be a very difficult game. I'm obviously going to, the Maestro Guarantee is obviously going to lean towards a United win. But I don't feel very good about this game in terms of the scoreline. You know, I can see Sheffield getting something from this game very easily.
Yeah. Let's wrap this pod up with a quick scoreline prediction. I'm going to start first. 3-2 to United. Francis?
3-2 as well.
El Maestro?
2-2.
3-2? Oh, unanimous.
Two.
I don't think we've ever...
No, he said 2-2, I think.
Yeah.
I thought you just said United wins.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah, but you guys predicted the same scoreline. Your Maestro Guarantee cannot condone it.
You know what? I'm going to change my scoreline.
What's your new scoreline?
3-1.
To who?
Oh, wow.
United.
Okay, El Maestro, are you sticking with 2-2?
I'm sticking.
All right, guys, thank you all.
sorry, I'm changing my scoreline again.
Yo, guy.
1-0 to Sheffield.
Ooh. Just know that you're not getting credit for any of your other ones. Don't come and be like,
okay. If that's the case, now let me predict the final one. The final one.
Wait, hold on. Jimmy, I better give this guy a drum roll so that it's official. Because after drum roll, you can't come
back. I'm not putting on my desk right now. I can't drum.
Yeah, okay. So now I'm saying this is the final one.
Yeah.
2-1 to Sheffield.
Okay. And there you have it.
This is ETH's last dance. This is that's
Now, ETH's last dance is the FA Cup final. There's nothing that he can do between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, he's going to make it to the FA Cup final. At least to the FA, which is on May
25th. Chelsea is like, what, 2 points behind us?
Oh, Chelsea is 2 points. Yo, they've crept up.
With a game in hand, or has Chelsea played today?
No, Chelsea has a double game week next.
Because of FA Cup, yeah.
They have
a double game week. In hand, they're going to go above us.
Wow. with the kind of how bad Chelsea has been this season. Wow.
Larry, are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Let me go and check again. Hold on. I'll tell you guys.
Yeah, they will, because yeah, they're even higher than us in goal difference.
Chelsea's plus nine.
Plus nine goals. Can you imagine? United. Yeah, so I guess it'll be tied on points, but they'll go above us on...
Wow. Nah, it's
10 points behind Spurs with 6 games to go. What a waste of a season. Do you know that right now, this is the worst we've been for Fergie? Right now.
No, didn't we finish like...
No, the amount of points that we have at this moment is the worst.
I see what you mean.
It doesn't like sometimes I forget, like, because you think about Moyes, you even think about Ralph. You remember like that Ralph season where we didn't win like our last like 8 games or something like that, or 7 games or whatever it was.
I'm wearing this low. Like,
this is the lowest point. And somehow we have fewer points than even that. Anyway, sorry, not to digress. I think we're about to end the pod. Rightfully so.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Please give us a follow on socials. What Will Fergie Do on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We're popping on TikTok right now. So if you have TikTok, please give us a follow. Also, rate and review us. You can now do that on Spotify. 5 stars only. Anything less than 5 stars.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah, I know the vibe. We'll be right back.